Dear friends in Christ, in this Lenten season, we've heard our Lord's call to intensify our struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God and each other. This is the struggle to which we are called at baptism. Within the community of the church, God never wearies of forgiving sin and giving the peace of reconciliation. On this night, let us confess our sins against God, our neighbor, and enter into the Paschal celebration, reconciled with God and with one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you and for me, for all of us. For his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We sing together our gathering song, and I invite you to rise as you are able. I'll be singing the verses, and then please come in with our song leader on the refrain.
Jesus is around in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is around in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. No one can do like Jesus, not a mumbling word he said. He went walking down to Lazarus' grave, and he raised him from the dead. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. When Jesus was on earth, the flesh was very weak. He took a towel and girded himself, and he washed his disciples' feet. My Jesus is around in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is around in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Yonder comes my Savior, him whom I love so well. He has the palm of victory and the gate of death and hell. My Jesus is around in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. My Jesus is around in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, your Son gave us a new commandment, and through his act of radical servanthood, he showed us the way of true love. Grant that we may share his servant nature as we live out your reign, awaiting the promise of his return. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the hearing of God's word.
Our first reading is from Hebrews chapter 9, beginning with verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We sing together our hymn, In Christ Alone, all on verses 1 and 4, women verse 2, and men verse 3.
Smile. precious blood of Christ.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
Good evening. It's a great honor and privilege to worship with you tonight here on Maundy Thursday. And I would just like to let you know I'm fully vaccinated, so for my reading and for my sermon, I will not be wearing a mask. Thank you so much for having me. The Holy Gospel according to Saint John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, "Not all of you are clean." When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your teacher and Lord, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I'm not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me. And just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
He laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. You shall never wash my feet. I could have said those very words a few years back when I attended my first foot washing ceremony. You see, when I was 9 years old, I was hit by a car. And one of the results of that accident was that I ended up with this large scar on the top of my left foot that to me seemed very ugly. And also that scar was very painful if one touched it. So when I was presented with the proposition of having my feet washed by somebody else, having to reveal a scar to them that I wanted to keep hidden, and thinking that if they washed my foot, it would be very painful, I wanted to say, just like Peter said, you shall never wash my feet. But Simon Peter didn't want his feet washed for another reason. You see, back in that day, people wore either sandals or they went barefoot. And they did a lot of walking, so their feet got pretty dirty. When they were invited to somebody's house, when they walked into that home, there was usually a basin of water and a towel there, so their feet could be cleaned. But they weren't expected to wash their own feet. That would have been bad manners. Somebody else would wash their feet. And the person that would wash the visitor's feet was a servant, but not just a servant, the lowliest of servants, usually a Gentile slave. And you know, I think if you wash somebody else's feet, that's not always the most pleasant of tasks. In some cases, it might even be despicable, because it was considered a very lowly task to wash someone else's feet. So that's why the lowliest of slaves did it. And when Jesus approached Peter, and Peter thought that Jesus was about to wash his feet, he said, you shall never wash my feet, because after all, you are my rabbi, my teacher. How could you stoop to such a lowly task as washing my feet? That's just far, far beneath your dignity. No, I'm not going to have my feet washed. You know, I thought back as I was preparing this sermon, and I don't think I've ever had the opportunity to preach to a congregation on April Fool's Day. Yes, in the church, this is Maundy Thursday, but to the world outside, it's April Fool's Day. Now, as near as I can tell, April Fool's Day was first established in Western civilization in 1520, but that was way past that day that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. There was no April Fool's Day way back then in ancient Judea. But I tend to think that Peter would have been relieved if, after seeing Jesus come to wash his feet and tell him he would be washing his feet, if Jesus were to suddenly say, April Fools, I'm not going to wash your feet. Do you think I, Jesus, would stoop to such a lowly task as washing your feet? And that just got me thinking. How about in Matthew 18:20, where Jesus says, "For where two or three gather together in my name, there I am with them." What if after he said that, he would also blurt out, "April Fools, no, I'm only going to be with you here when I'm physically in this fleshy body. I can't be with you when I'm dead. And there's no way I have figured out how to be especially present with you in a real presence after I die. I haven't figured it out. So when you hear me talk about bread and wine and body and blood, just remember that's all symbolic, because when I die, I'm dead and I'll be decomposing in the tomb. But thank God, what Jesus said, and when Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, it was not an April Fool's prank. No. He spoke the truth, and he did the truth. He didn't operate on trickery. But I will have to say that in the world out there, there are people that think that if we here tonight at Emmanuel Lutheran Church believe, because we have gathered in Jesus' name, that the same Jesus who 2,000 years ago washed the feet of Peter and the disciples, that same Jesus is actually here with us in a very special, real presence. Or if we to believe the next time we go to Holy Communion, Jesus' real presence is there in the bread and the wine and the body and the blood, why, those people out there would probably think that on this April Fool's Day, all of us are the biggest fools of all. During this Lenten season, the theme has been real presence in unexpected places. And I have to say, there are many that out there that believe that finding Christ's real presence in a gathering like this, where this congregation meets together in Jesus' name, that is the most unexpected place to find Jesus. The most unexpected place. Oh yes, there's people out there that want spiritual enlightenment. They seek a higher power, but they don't think that in a gathering such as this, a congregation like this, where we meet in Jesus' name and gather together in Jesus' name, they don't think that the highest power of all could possibly be really present. But on this April Fool's Day, I have to say that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25a, we find these words, "For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom." Peter encountered God's foolishness when he saw Jesus coming toward him to wash his feet. So that's why he said, "You shall never wash my feet." But then Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. It seems that Peter thought, as so many of us do, that he needed to do good deed after good deed in service to God in order for Jesus to love him more and perhaps give him a place in his kingdom. After all, a little later, Peter tells Jesus, I would lay down my life for you. Well, that's certainly a good work, isn't it? Laying down your life in service to Jesus. And then how about when they came to arrest Jesus? Peter must have believed he was in service to God when he pulled the sword out of his sheath and then cut off the arresting man's ear. You know, as I said, if Peter were to die for Jesus, that would certainly be an honorable, good work. It certainly would be a heroic act of martyrdom. But Peter's death could not save him from sin, from death, and the power of the devil. It could not give him abundant or eternal life either. It couldn't. And his death would not make Jesus love him more, because Jesus already loved him with all his heart, as he loves all of you here with all his heart. And what about that ear laying on the ground? Jesus did not turn to Peter then and say, oh, thank you for serving me. No. Instead, he rebuked him. He said, put your sword back in the sheath. Am I not to drink the cup that the Father has given me? Peter needed to understand that he was not saved from sin, death, and the devil by his service to Jesus. No, it was by Jesus' service to Peter. For Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus serves us as he serves Peter. And his most supreme act of service to us was to die for us in very lowly and despicable conditions. Yes, he died for us, and Peter realized that Jesus' death produced a basin filled with living water and the blood of Jesus to which Peter could go to for forgiveness. Yes, the forgiven Peter could go to that basin and be fully cleansed when he repented of his sin, washed completely by Jesus. So Jesus, he puts a towel around his waist. He did not put a sword around his waist to protect him from arrest. No, he tied a towel around his waist, and he became a servant of the towel. And after he did that, he began to wash the feet of his disciples with the water in that basin. Now, I believe that Jesus did an extremely thorough and good job of cleaning those feet. And when he took off that towel, maybe he dipped a corner of it to scrub off a stubborn bit of crud on one of the disciples' feet. But then after the feet were washed, he took that towel, and that towel absorbed all the wetness and every little final morsel of dirt, dust, and sand. that were on those disciples' feet. Yes, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, but what of his own feet? Well, when they arrested him, he did not lift a finger to protect himself. And when they arrested him, his feet took him to be judged, and he did not say a word in his defense. And then his feet took him to be beaten and physically abused violently. And I'm sure his feet hurt after that. And then he carried a heavy burden on that Calvary road, walking in aching feet to that hill shaped as a skull. And oh, if Jesus could have had just a moment of comfort, if he could have just been able to voluntarily stop that walk to his death and sit down, and maybe if somebody, maybe Peter, could have come and washed his feet, oh, that would have brought maybe just a little bit of comfort in the midst of all the agony. But Jesus didn't do that. This servant of the towel kept walking, carrying the heavy burden. And you know what? This servant of the towel did not throw in the towel. He could have said, I'm not going to die for these people. I've changed my mind here. I'm not going to die for people who yell out at me, crucify him, who mock and ridicule me and beat me and physically abuse me. I'm not going to die for people who don't even believe in me. Or don't obey my commandments. I am not going to die for people who crucify me on a cross. Jesus could have used his divine power to stop this torture and death. But he did not. No, he did not. His feet kept carrying him till he got to that hill shaped as a skull. And once at that hill, nobody washed his feet. Instead, they crossed one foot over the other and took a big spike and pounded it through both feet till it was embedded in coarse wood. And from the feet of this servant of the towel, from the wounds in that feet, oozed the blood, as did the blood from the other wounds on his body. And that blood and the waters of your baptism have washed you completely clean of all sin. And on that cross, it was like this servant of the towel had an invisible towel by which he could scrub away our most horrible sins and then dry us with that towel and suck up even the smallest of our sins. Every single one of our sins would then be in that towel. And it was like then Jesus balled up that towel and did not throw the towel down, but hurled it far away, so far that it even went past the memory of God. So this Jesus, who went to the cross to die for you and me, so his death could be a substitute for our death, so our physical deaths now are not a falling into a dark and empty pit of endless death, but instead it's a doorway. Our death, our physical death, will be a doorway into an unbelievable dimension of perfect and everlasting love, joy, and peace, and bliss with Jesus and all of his loved ones forever and ever. But on the cross, your sins were not only forgiven and washed away, but have been totally forgotten by God. Yes, on the cross, this happened. And Jesus is there on that cross for you. He died for you. And he said to his disciples at one time, he said to the disciples that he was setting an example for them by washing their feet, and they needed to wash the feet of others. But he said this even more succinctly when he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another." Now, how can we love another as Jesus loved us? As we look to the cross, how can we love with such a love as that? That's how much Jesus loves you. Look to the cross. Can we love another that way? Well, we have to remember that Jesus died, yes, but he did not stay dead. He rose up from the dead. He ascended to heaven. And then he sent his Holy Spirit down to earth at Pentecost. And at your baptism, Jesus made a special intervention at your baptism to give you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit guides you and leads you and empowers you to live the life that God would have you live, a life of service to others, especially the most lowly and the outcast, a life of love in service to others. And there's another thing that Jesus did by sending you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit connected you to the same Jesus who died on the cross for you. You are in union, united to that Jesus. So that Jesus lives in and through you and lives as you participate in his life. He's there to love others by using you as an instrument in his hand. Jesus has done that for you, and he anoints you also as a servant of the towel. So here we are at a Maundy Thursday service. And when we hear the word service, we so often think that when we go to a worship service, we are there to serve God. But the truth is, at a service such as this, God is here in Christ's real presence to serve us. And he serves us by being with us. And he serves us by announcing to us, as he did not so long ago, that all of our sins are forgiven. He serves us by reminding us that at our baptisms, he chose us as his very own. And he will never, never let you or me go. Amen.
We sing together, "Love Consecrates the Humblest Act." On this night, we've heard our Lord's commandment to love one another as he has loved us. We who receive God's love in Jesus Christ are called to love one another, to be servants to each other as Jesus became our servant. Our commitment to this loving service is signified in the washing of feet, following the example our Lord gave us on the night before his death. Tonight, we're unable to practice our tradition of the foot washing due to COVID-19. But we invite you to consider how you might serve your neighbor in safe ways during COVID-19. A couple of announcements that I also want to share with you. I remind you that we have Bible Monday coming up, and that will be on Easter Monday, the 5th of April. We still are looking for someone to read a portion of the book of Acts, but otherwise we've got all the other books covered, and we hope that you'll crack open the Bible, the New Testament, on Monday, and whether it's a verse, a chapter, or a whole book, that you'll be in the Word as the Word is living in you, and that you'll have a chance then to know that not just two or three, but many more than that are gathered with you, celebrating the gift of baptism and the gift of our Lord's resurrection. Also, you'll notice that we have a couple of meetings coming up. Saturday, April 17th, following worship at 7 o'clock, we'll have an Emmanuel huddle, and we'll have a presentation also at the huddle from our implementation team about our building for the future. And then also on 1 week later, when information is fresh in our minds, 7 o'clock p.m., on April 24th, we'll have a congregational meeting then to approve recommendations that will be coming from the implementation team and from the church council. So we hope that you can mark those dates on your calendar. And in the season of Easter, we'll have much that we can discuss and share and converse about. And we'll see where the Lord is taking us. Let's see. This coming Saturday will be our final collection for Soup to Share. And invite you to bring soup then on Saturday. Tomorrow, our Triduum, three holy days, continues with our Good Friday worship here at 12 o'clock noon, along with the bidding prayer. And as you heard in Dallas's sermon tonight, that we are continuing that Lenten theme that we have about finding Jesus in unexpected places. And certainly Peter and the disciples didn't expect at the Passover meal or at a meal with Jesus that he would in fact be giving them his body and blood, and that he would also be washing their feet, and that he would unexpectedly invite us to be servants of the towel in his name as well. So thank you, Dallas, for sharing God's holy word with us tonight. Let's see here. I think that those are the announcements that I needed to be highlighting for you tonight. You can read the rest in the bulletin, or you've seen what Don has posted up on the screen as well. Remember, we don't pass our offering plates, but if you're a supporter of Emmanuel, we give you thanks for that. We want to lift up Jesus, the name which is above every name. Let's continue then with our prayers. I invite you to rise as you are able.
Let us pray to our merciful God on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Holy God, purify your church. Fill it with your spirit so it more perfectly loves you and the people your Son came to redeem. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless this congregation. Fill us with your spirit so we more perfectly reflect the servant love of Jesus to one another and to our neighbors. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bestow wisdom upon all who have authority and power in our world. Fill them with your spirit so they may accomplish your will for the well-being of the people entrusted to their care. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant courage and integrity to our military, medical personnel, first responders, and to all who risk their lives for the sake of others. Fill them with your spirit so they may establish safety, peace, and healing in this troubled world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We plead on behalf of everyone who is sick, grieving, and in need of healing, especially those who seek our prayers.
Gracious Father, we have so many people that we name silently and out loud. We pray for your continued mercy, for your cleansing power, for your healing gift. We pray for Brenda Clary, for Kelly Stoyles, for Pastor Dan Brooklyn. We pray for Neil Proko. We pray, Lord, that you would be with Gail Jepson, with Karen Peterson, with Barb Stephenson, with Denny Trausch. We pray for McKenna Studer, for Jenny Brown, for Keith Hammerbeck, for David Schaefer and Amy Cooper. And also, Lord, we pray this night for comfort and peace for those who have lost loved ones. We pray for the families and the friends of Steve Christensen, Myron Wendland, and also the family and friends of Officer Eric Taylor. We pray for all, Lord, who lost their lives out in the Boulder, Colorado shooting.
Fill them with your Spirit and grant them complete restoration as they cling to Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ during these holy days. Fill them with your Spirit so that they may more perfectly follow in his footsteps. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
For these things and for whatever else is needful, dear Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Amen.
We sing together, Go to Dark Gethsemane. Congregation may be seated. Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who seek me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay on me in the dust. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They pierce my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them. And for my clothing, they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You have rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but has heard when he cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of the nation shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Let us pray. Father, when your son was handed over to torture and felt abandoned by you, he cried out from the cross. Then death was destroyed and life was restored. By his death and resurrection, save the poor, lift up the downtrodden, break the chains of the oppressed, that your church may sing your praises through your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.